to this.
Like everything I'm reading, and it's like, if you have a problem with any of that, you hate Jews and you are
just not gonna, it's not working. And so the right is like, there are two factions inside of right wing politics right now. There are America First conservatives, and there are international traditional, you know, neocon Israel, like, you know, like lobbyist people, right? Like, there are two groups of people here, and the infighting is why they're losing. They're losing because they're infighting. The reality, though, is that, again, the Israel issue is the Republican trans issue. I think 80%, a huge amount of voters are by the fact that they have politicians playing like kowtowing and playing patty cake with Israel constantly. It is. It's a massive thing. And the more that you play into that, and the more that you try to like, oh, no, this is normal, this is fine, that's the problem. Pull it as you did with the trans stuff. Is not being pro-Israel, prioritizing a foreign country. So it's about 70-30. It looks like it's about 70-30, so, right? I mean, we've got like 1,000 votes in here. It's probably going to stay about the same, right? Is being lobbied by Israel a deal breaker? For me, I would say that the answer to it still, for me, is no, it's not a deal breaker, because I'm pragmatic and I realize that there are other things that I would want to have happen, even if it's by somebody who I dislike. However, I think that for enough people, it is. 30% retards? Well, 30% of people might just be saying, okay, well, there are other things that I care about more than that, right? And so that's it. And so do we have military bases in Israel? Yes, exactly. You could even say that it is one. And anyway, let's go back. I'll listen to the rest of this.
You are a Nazi. It's like, what? Wait, I don't like my politicians not knowing which country they love more. I don't like being...
This is ridiculous. If you can't immediately answer, who are you voting for? Who are you voting in the best interest for? American citizens or Israeli citizens? And you're in the American fucking government? I think, you know what? If you can't answer that question, I have a different question. Do you want to go to Israel today or tomorrow? Because you're getting a one-way ticket there and you're never coming back. That's my opinion. That's it.
Censored for pointing out things that are true. I don't like a foreign country dictating censorship terms and destroying the First Amendment in my country.
Exactly.
I don't like being
surveilled
by drones run out of Israel. I don't like America or Germany's cybersecurity in the hands of Israel. Yes. I don't like the...
And I think that also Israel overplayed their hand whenever they showed how good they were at killing terrorists. Think about it like this. If they can pinpoint to surgical accuracy the exact apartment building that a fugitive, you know, running from Israel, doing everything that they can to hide from Israel, a military officer is in Iran, and they can bomb and kill him inside of his apartment and not even affect the rest of the building. That's scary. And the thing is, I bet the United States intelligence is that good, too. Probably. I mean, I would hope so. Right. I mean, we've got a lot more fucking money. I hope it's even better. Yeah, that's how that is. And so they did overplay their hand with that, though. And I think in doing so, they also earned a tremendous amount of trepidation, because now this is serious. And I think that's a big reason, too.
Sycophantic dedication that American politicians have to Israel when Israel seems ready and willing to pivot to China the moment they don't get what they want from us.
All right, folks, that was one of the most popular streamers on Twitch, Asmongold, reacting to yours truly. So I just want to show that. Thank you, Asmongold, for spreading the word, spreading the news. And, folks, we're going to be joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson this hour. But I do want to remind you, in the meantime, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for all your patriotic merchandise needs. Of course, the knives have sold out because they're too awesome and too cool, and we can't keep them on the shelves. But we've got all the supplements, all the t-shirts, all the hats. Plus, you can win a gun safe. You can get discounts by playing the lottery game. There's all sorts of wonderful savings and products at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll be right back on the other side with Jeffrey Jackson to talk about health. Talk about health in the modern age and what RFK Jr. is doing to combat big pharma and, of course, climate change. We'll be right back.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson. He, of course, is on the high wire with Del Bigtree, and welcome to the show, sir.
All right, Harrison, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for being here, and we have a lot to talk about today. What is your opinion on the success or lack of success from RFK Jr.? I feel like he's like one of the standout stars of the Trump administration and doesn't really get enough credit for what he's been able to achieve.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good view?
Agreed. 100% agreed. I've been covering him as a journalist, he talks at state houses, debates. I've been covering him for a decade before really a lot of people even knew about what he was doing, the advocacy with the World Mercury Project. And the one thing I can say about him is his message has stayed consistent no matter how much attention or not attention that he gets.
Right.
And he's been saying the same thing, and he's still saying the same thing. And what I'm seeing is the hit pieces that are coming out against him are indicative of where the power centers, where the spots in the power centers are. There's issues there. Mm. So the Tylenol issue is the start. He's building on a narrative to help these kids,
right?
Help pregnant mothers and their unborn infants. And he was attacked viciously about that. And in their own internal emails, Johnson & Johnson, then Kenvue, their own internal emails said, the evidence is looking like it's piling up here. We missed a bunch of studies in 2016. The neurodevelopmental issues with children, we see it. They knew it. They knew it. The FDA knew it. No one did anything. In fact, right. No administration prior to this administration has done anything for children with chronic health disease. This is the right. First administration to do this. So we're in uncharted territory. So when you're seeing these little movements and the media, corporate media, it's freaking out, that shows you where these power centers are. And none of the power centers are more powerful than the vaccine industry. And that is kind of the top of the food chain. And from there, we have the processed foods, we have fluoride, we have Tylenol and these consumer drugs. But all of this, these are synergistic issues.
Right.
Synergistic issues that pile up in these children. And we're learning that there's genetic issues where some of these children, infants, can't detoxify. So when the media says, oh, there's not a causal evidence that Tylenol is going to cause issues in these kids, well, they also can't say there's no evidence that it doesn't.
Right.
So what are we erring on the side? We're erring on the side of corporate profits or protecting the mothers and informed consent. That's the name of the game here. And that's what Kennedy's delivering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against heavy odds.
Yeah, very heavy odds. And, you know, there's so much speculation, like sort of in our realm of politics, that everybody's fake, everybody's a fraud, everybody's, you know, two-faced. And it's like RFK Jr. is one of these guys where, like, if he's not the real deal, no one is. Because he has been beating the same drum for decades. He has been on the same mission for decades. He gets into office and he starts achieving things in, I think, a very sophisticated way. Because I loved the way they did the Tylenol rollout. Because what I saw was an attack on the vaccine program. But by labeling it a Tylenol, you know, revelation, everybody, you know, started talking about Tylenol and people were taking Tylenol. But really, it was Donald Trump standing up there going, make sure you're spacing the vaccines if you have to get them. I mean, that was an attack on the vaccines. But by framing it as Tylenol, they sort of deflected the attacks that would have come from the vaccine corporations if they targeted them directly.
Right.
Am I giving up the game here? Or was this, you know, thought out this way? Because it's
it's not dishonest. It's just a sophisticated sort of strategic way of revealing information to avoid the backlash that could do a lot of damage.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a legal team, the Informed Consent Action Network. Aaron Seary is our lead lawyer. And we had been on the Tylenol issue for about a year with some of the attorneys that were working on these legal cases against Johnson & Johnson and Kenvue. So we knew about this issue as far as the science was concerned. And so what happened was Kennedy and Makary through the FDA put out this basically, we want them to give informed consent to the parents. Talk to your doctor. Doctors, be aware of this. It was very mild. And for the media to freak out like it did was, again, it's indicative of they're pushing on power centers. Mm. And what we did at ICANN was we put out a citizen's petition to say, FDA, go all the way now. Put this on the label forevermore. Whether Kennedy's there or not, whether he stays throughout his tenure or not, put that on the label so it will forever be there. Any woman that picks up a bottle and she's pregnant, she'll know, she'll have full informed consent. Don't rely on the government anymore. Don't rely on the companies anymore. And this is what it should look like. Consumer products and vaccines should have full disclosure of their issues. And that's been a problem because they have not been investigated fully. And when issues are found out, they're not told to the public.
Right. They're good. Covered up in a lot of cases. So what would you say are his biggest accomplishments so far, RFK Jr.? Because, you know, removing thimerosal is absolutely huge. I mean, what would you list as sort of the greatest accomplishments so far of the second Trump administration?
Well, I would say, and no disrespect to the people out there, because I know a lot of them that have been working to get the bad ingredients out of processed food and really just bring us up to par with what's in Europe, because they don't allow a lot of that stuff in there. But he's worked to get the dyes out of the processed food. Again, this is all synergistic effects harming children. So we're trying to just whittle away at this. That was low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. Again, not to take away from the mothers and the parents that have been working on this for decades trying to get this out of the food.
But you know what's fascinating about that? Sorry to interrupt, but it was the fact that, I mean, did that happen through government action? It seems like that happened a lot more through just awareness, and people became aware and corporations decided, hey, if we take out, you know, if we start cooking our fries in beef tallow, we get more customers. So really it's the shift of awareness, shift of mindset that RFK Jr. has been at the front of, but it didn't need government intervention. It needed corporations to serve their customers what they wanted. Yeah. So I think that's like, it's an even better success because it didn't require the government. It just required America awakening to the danger of these foods.
And they have. And I think Victor Hugo, it was an idea whose time has come.
Right.
And that's what was happening there. And when we saw, what I saw was when they started making these changes, food dyes are out. He was getting all of these corporate heads to Washington and having meetings with them behind closed doors. And they were doing it. And there wasn't much pushback in the media. And these corporations were going, oh, this is a new revenue stream. We have the health market now.
Right.
And they were just one by one going, now we have a whole big health products and we have people that love this stuff. And we can tap into this industry that hated us because we put food dye. Now they're customers. They rolled over very quickly, and you could read their stock market meetings, their quarterly meetings, and they were actually boasting about, here's our new product line. It's for protein. Okay, great. That's what we want. We want that. We're not seeing that with the vaccine industry. And I keep going back to this because that has been the most protected industry, maybe next to weaponry and government weaponry that we've ever seen. You can't sue them. And I can go into that a lot further because that's been a lot of the work that I've done over the last decade. But the informed consent with the COVID vaccine, that dealt a death blow to that program, the final death blow to the COVID vaccine. It didn't save millions of lives. Studies have shown now that is not an accurate conversation. It actually has harmed people. We have the harms mounting. They're still being discovered. Myocarditis has just been put in this journal from the American Heart Association titled Circulation. It's the biggest journal, number three in the world in impact. And they have found the mechanism. It's an autoimmune mechanism of myocarditis. That's how the vaccine causes damage. Not my words, but theirs. That has been published and that's out there now. It's not going back. And it's not from the actual COVID infection. In fact, there's a lot of studies showing that people with COVID infection have no heart issues.
Right.
So I think what he's done to shed light on the COVID vaccine, because as you and I know, that was a rolling out of control issue. It was the genie that was out of the bottle. And there was a point where I wasn't sure we were going to ever pull out of that. And so the fact that he was backing off that, you know, I was talking to the team this morning, Dell and the team at the High Wire, and I believe it was Dell that mentioned, he said, what would you do if you're a Kennedy? You come in, you've been talking about the childhood vaccination schedule and the issues with the safety testing and the fact that none of them are tested with placebo control before licensure. And the safety testing was to the tune of just a couple days after injection, especially with the Hep B vaccine. And you have a president who hired you that his greatest accomplishment, one of them, was the COVID vaccine. Right. What do you do? Do you go attack his baby and maybe get kicked out of your position and sacrifice the childhood vaccine schedule that you've been working to change and to bring awareness to the science? Or do you try to move within this paradigm to get as much done as possible, do the most good as possible? So that's what I see from the outside looking in of how he's operating.
Right. Talk about a high wire act. That's you really got to, balance the concerns that you have. And of course, you know, I'm not a fan of the COVID vaccine by any means whatsoever. I also understand why Trump wanted it released, because the economic concerns were so, you know, devastating. Where do you think Trump is on the COVID vaccine at this point? He still touts it, but then he's, you know, there's these stories of he's asking people behind the scenes, why don't people like the vaccine? What am I missing here? I mean, do you think he's woken up to the reality at all?
I don't know. I don't have any inside sources when it comes to Trump, but it seems like his rhetoric has backed away a little bit. Every once in a while, you'll see a comment. It's like, whoa, what did he say that for?
That's
interesting. But I think having Kennedy in there, putting him on track, that's the best we can hope for. In the vaccine itself, I think you covered this a couple days ago, but Associated Press showed that the fall vaccine push, Moderna is expected to lose 50% of its revenue from the COVID vaccine. Pfizer's expected to lose another 25%. And this is revenue now. They're getting hit. This is a product that cannot compete on its own without a mandate by the government forcing it down people's throat. How long do you think this thing's going to last with all of this research coming out saying it for sure injures kids' hearts to the tune of, I think, 1 in 2,600, Makari said. So I don't know how long this thing's going to last, but if that goes, behind that is the childhood schedule. Behind that, because there's a lot of doctors that have woken up to the COVID vaccine issues, but they don't understand the childhood schedule. And when they see that, and they're seeing it very quickly now, they go, wait a minute, it can't be like this for the childhood schedule, because we rushed into the COVID vaccine. But with the childhood schedule, we've had decades to do the science. We've had decades of looking at this and the mountains of studies that no one can seem to find the mountain anywhere, but we're being told that it exists.
Yeah, that's one of those phenomena where they do just sort of assert that stuff. And especially when it comes to autism, it's always, you know, oh, vaccines don't cause autism. We know because we've never done the study. And it's kind of like, what? Wait, if you've never studied this, how can you be so confident in saying that it doesn't cause it? It's just they have this way of just asserting these things that have no factual basis, and then the media runs with it. It's hard not to see it as a conspiracy, as them being aligned, because otherwise, why isn't the media asking questions? Why isn't this being questioned over and over? They're just allowed to assert this stuff. It's very infuriating when you know the truth.
Yeah, and you know, you asked me, like, what are Kennedy's greatest accomplishments?
Yeah,
he's kind of like this Pac-Man. He's going and he's doing great. Everything he's doing great. And what I'm seeing is like the ghost up ahead. Like, oh, how's he gonna eat that one? What I'm seeing, one of the big ones is reforming the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. So this is, if you get injured by a vaccine, a lot of people still don't know this. There's two programs. If you took the COVID shot, you get funneled into the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which is called a black hole. That's what is written up in Reuters. And you have 1 year statute of limitations to file. So think about that. You get the shot. You don't even know. The government held back the fact that this thing was causing heart damage for months. And so you don't even know. If your statute of limitations passes, you're out of luck.
Right.
And plus, it pays out barely anything. It's paid out a pittance. I think about 20 people have received payouts just to the tune of a couple grand here, a couple grand there for some medical bills, nothing. National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is different. That's for the childhood schedule. You get 3 years, and something big just happened there. We have the second case of SIDS. This is sudden infant death syndrome. And this is something that's been talked about. It's obviously unexpected, but they call it a syndrome because the government and scientists say, well, we don't know. There's just a certain amount of percentage of babies that just die, and we don't know. So we just call it a syndrome because we don't know what it is.
Right.
And they, even though the Institute of Medicine said there needs to be more research on children that are susceptible to vaccine injury, it's not really been done to see who's going to get hurt before that shot goes in the arm. They don't know. So SIDS is this warning signal that there is an issue there. In July of this year, it's Sims versus HHS. These parents lost their daughter, literally went to a well baby visit in the morning, got shot with 5 shots at the same visit, died that night. These parents, luckily, they retained great expert witnesses. Because what people don't know is this injury compensation program, you have to sue the government, the Department of Justice attorneys, who you're basically suing Kennedy and HHS. So you're going against the government as parents. Think about this, that lost your children. You have to get the expert witness. You have to prove the science that the government has not done purposely, because it would incriminate itself in these court cases. So the government has an incentive not to do the safety science because it's going to be used against them. So these parents, they decided that they were going to do that. They proved it. The expert witnesses proved it. It was a brain injury, encephalopathy, it's called. And if you go into this court case, you can look at it. That the Department of Justice attorneys, just to give you an idea of what you're up against, they actually argued, because the table injury says you have to prove for 24 hours there was brain swelling, encephalopathy. Mm. The child died. It was about 6 to 8 hours later. So the Department of Justice attorneys actually contested it and said, you know what? You can't prove that because it wasn't 24 hours.
Because it was under 24 hours, they're saying it doesn't count?
Because the table injury says it has to be 24 hours of brain swelling. And the autopsy showed the brain is swollen. And so luckily the judge, the special master, this doesn't happen in a lot of cases, ruled on their side. I talked to my friend and colleague, Wayne Rohde. He wrote Vaccine Court. He's the world's expert in this vaccine court and the legal processes. He called me right before I came on the show. He didn't know I was coming on the show, but he's breaking. He asked me, he said, you hear about this? Another Rodella versus HHS, another win. Again, these are really rare to prove SIDS exists, and it's a vaccine injury. Very rare, almost impossible in vaccine court. Two have happened this year. We have Florida with S-188. This is Ileana Garcia. She put this bill forward. She's forcing medical examiners to, in the autopsy, they're forcing them to do toxicology studies and to list on the medical records the last vaccines they had. Medical examiners are not mandated to do that. And if they, so this bill is in session, it's moving through, hopefully it'll pass. And if it passes, those autopsies and those doctors that don't follow this, they'll be fined. If they don't do it consecutive times, they'll lose their license. So it has teeth in it. This is good. This is a movement that's happening now, and we have Dr. Gary Goldman. He's a doctor. He just put out a paper that shows the mechanism. He hypothesized that these are kids that that can't detox.
Right.
For some reason, they're genetically susceptible. Their detox pathways is called cytochrome P450. It's a liver enzyme that detoxes excipients. Mm-hmm. Vaccines have aluminum. They have polysorbate 80. These kids can't detox this. Therefore, they become overwhelmed, and you get this cascade of this. It's called cytokine storm. And so, you know, my question is SIDS, is a percentage of SIDS a flag for everyone to look at and go, this is a catastrophic vaccine injury, and this is one of many. I mean, autism. There's massive amounts of evidence that show that this is also a vaccine injury. It could be a culmination of a lot of things, but the vaccine is one of the culprits. Are these big flags being put up for us to look at? And this is what I see Kennedy is able to do. Now, Kennedy has said that the vaccine court, it needs to be moved out of the government's hand. Maybe private individuals can sue. This countermeasures injury compensation program needs to have a longer statute of limitations. All of these things can be moves that Kennedy can make here that would change this conversation forever. And these are the big chunks. If he takes these chunks out, the whole conversation has changed.
I mean, autism is already huge. Just the fact that he has been able to, you know, establish, you know, the at least one particular cause with Tylenol lowering the blood-brain barrier and, you know, allowing in the toxic parts of the vaccine. I mean, that's huge. And again, it's like, it's weird that we live in this world where they can come out and say, we have cured autism, or we have, you know, found the mechanism that causes autism. And it's like not even a big story. It's crazy. But I think SIDS would be even bigger. Because, I mean, especially like if you have a kid, your first kid, like you're terrified of SIDS. It's this idea that like, yeah, you know, your kid might just die in the middle of the night one time. And so like, you know, the psychological stress of like waking up every 10 minutes being like, are you breathing? It's like, if that's all because of vaccines, which a lot of us have, you know, supposed for a while, or, you know, we think that's what it was. But are you saying there's actually now like evidence and they're winning court cases showing that vaccines are causing SIDS? We just saw a video. SIDS is one of the most common causes of death for infants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's wild.
Court cases against the Department of Justice attorneys in a special master's vaccine court, which is a whole different court than most people understand it to be.
Okay.
it's a really big deal, and it's something that I think a lot of people don't really understand because it doesn't get a lot of attention. I mean, these aren't stories you go out and get a lot of clicks and views on, because they're not happy stories, but they need to be told. And I mean, these are the stories that I think, if Kennedy's legacy is already written in stone, it's already obvious. But if he can change this, you're talking about a massive industry. The ACIP committee, this is the committee of the CDC that Kennedy fired the entire committee or released them and then restacked them with people. I would say, the media will say, with conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers, but basically open-minded people, you know, like Robert Malone, who created the mRNA technology for the COVID vaccine, like that guy. So these people are now looking at it objectively and saying, all right, let's look at the real evidence. And you saw thimerosal get kicked out. Kennedy just went recently and said he's challenging the rest of the world. So he put the stake in the ground. He put the flag in the ground. So we're not putting a neurotoxin like mercury in our vaccines anymore. Now do it with the rest of the world. He's calling on the rest of the world to take it out of the vaccines. There's no reason it should be there. And industry already said that they have other things they can put in there besides, so they have an out. He's saying, do it. The next in line is aluminum adjuvants.
Right.
And you can see them they're terrified that this is going to be taken out. You see Scott Gottlieb, who went from the FDA commissioner, revolving door, landed his butt right into the board of directors of Pfizer. Kennedy didn't even say anything about aluminum. He's been out for the last 2 months talking about they're going to take this away. Paul Offit, same thing. They're terrified this aluminum adjuvant is going to be taken out. 3,000 micrograms into children before age one in the vaccine schedule. And this thing, the reason it was put in there, it's a adjuvant, which means it stimulates the immune system to get it going, to rev it up when this virus comes in. So the immune system can say, oh, that's a bad virus. I'm going to just have this immune response to it. The problem was they used a guy named Robert Mikus, who did a math equation basically on ingested aluminum to kind of see, like, let's just estimate. I guess this would be okay for injected aluminum, but we're not going to do a lot of robust studies. That's what the FDA used. And it's been crazy that that's been the standard for this long, but it needs to be looked at. That's the next thing. Kennedy, most likely through the ACIP committee, most likely they'll look at that. They'll look at the Hep B vaccine coming up. I'm sure you'll cover this, but it's in February 25th, I think, is the ACIP committee. That's going to make tons of headlines because the Hep B vaccine is next in line. It's the first shot given to kids. It's for sexually transmitted diseases and shared IVs. Like, I don't know how many one-year-old children are doing that.
It's the most insane vaccine ever, right? Especially because, they want you to give it to your kid before you're out of the operating room. Like, as soon as they're out of the mom's body, they're trying to inject them with this Hep B, it is absurd.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to say too is, on the flip side of this, when people say, like, well, this is the science, whatever, for SIDS and for the Hep B, you mentioned that, it just brought up in my head. If a lot of times, if you don't take that shot before you get out of there, some of these hospitals will call CPS on you. Some of these hospitals will call Child Protective Services on you, and then you're filling out a form or you're getting interviewed or interrogated why you don't give your kids the shots. For SIDS, some of the parents get accused because the child's brain swells. They get accused of abusing the kid.
Oh my God.
They have to answer to police and detectives why they didn't abuse their kid or beat their kid. And so this is what's at stake, because that dark rabbit hole is really dark. And when you research this, I mean, it's almost a form of war reporting when you research this. I've been doing it for 10 years, and it's like, we don't want to go down that road anymore.
Right. I will never forget reading The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK Jr. And I'd read a page and I'd have to just set it down and go, oh my God, what is going on? Because the rot is so deep. And so I'm very satisfied with what RFK Jr. has been able to do so far. But I mean, we're working to, unbuild the pyramids here. Like, there is entrenched corruption that you couldn't even imagine. More on the other side with Jeffrey Jackson. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, t-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing thing is already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of t-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. A lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. While supplies last, could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red, about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson of The High Wire. And is that thehighwire.com?
Or it is, yeah.
Thehighwire.com. And how can they follow you on X?
Same name, Jeffrey Jackson. Jeffrey spelled a little weird, so check that. But yeah, Jeffrey Jackson on X, that's it.
And I was blown away by it because I was seeing little hints at this. I saw sort of rumors about it, but this is the actual court case. From Vaccine Antidote on X, here is the proof that the DTaP vaccine causes encephalopathy, leading... How do you pronounce it?
Encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy.
Brain swelling.
Leading to the death of an infant. This is backed up by medical examination, expert neurological testimony, and peer-reviewed science. It is not just words on a package insert. It's reality. How many SIDS cases are really encephalopathy? It's sad because I actually... Anyway... I know this because when my daughter was a week old, we had to take her to the hospital, and they were very worried about, you know, this. But this is it. I mean, this is huge. How is this not a bigger story? I mean, you would think with the threat of SIDS, the horror and terror that young parents experience, how is this not a main headline on every major news story?
Right. And think about this. We have one or two or three cases of bird flu, which someone gets like pink eye.
Right.
They're a worker, you know, working with birds or chickens. And we shut down the entire country. We're killing flocks. We're working on vaccines.
They're killing all the ostriches in Canada. Yeah.
For a couple of dudes with pink eye that they're recovered in a couple of days. Like think about the priorities here.
That is just wild. And of course, I always point out, like, you talk to a pregnant woman, they're not eating deli meat, they're not eating sushi. They're like so hyper focused on what goes into their body, and for very good reason. I'm not condemning that. It's like that's how they should be. And then the instant they give birth, it's like, yeah, inject them with, you know, 3,000 milligrams of aluminum. Why not? It's like it's so bizarre. You spend so long being so concerned about what's going into your baby's body, and then you just let a doctor shove a needle in his arm and fill him up with toxic metals. It's insane.
Yeah. Our attorney, Aaron Seary, just put out a book called Vaccines, Amen, and talking about how the entire vaccine industry is more of a religion.
Right.
Because when people are faced with the facts that should know better, they have emotional responses rather than, oh, I should look into that more, because these are the same facts that they've trusted the CDC on for years. But when the CDC can't find any research that shows vaccines don't cause autism, when they're asked, they go, oh, it's an emotional response. So it's more of a religion at this point. You'd be hard to argue that it's a science.
Well, that's a good sort of bridge between that and like climate change, because that's what it reminds me of, this religious impulse, this idea that facts don't matter, like evidence doesn't matter. And of course, with climate change, it gets to an absurd degree where they're literally cutting down forests in the name of climate change. And it's like, this is so bonkers. It's like religious fanatics, that there's no logic to it. It's just, you know, total commitment to this nonsense idea. And I know Bill Gates, what do you think has happened with Bill Gates and moving away from climate change? I've got other clips from COP30 today where they're saying that no, climate change really is a big deal. I mean, what do you think is happening here? Because, and help us tie it in together. Give us the big picture, how vaccines and climate change, how they're all sort of part of the same operation being foisted on the American people or people all over the world.
Yeah. So, well, we talk about Bill Gates, Mr. Hand Waver. The more his hands are waving, you know, you got to watch out for that guy when his hands are waving, he's coming towards you. So got a question, what he's saying. So he recently came out and said that climate change is not this threat that he's been talking about for a decade, talking about, you know, pestilence and starvation and mass death. And oh, by the way, it's not that big of a deal. I think his words are people will survive and they'll thrive for the foreseeable future. So we're all good.
Wow.
But in that same breath, I don't know if you have the clip, but in the same
we
breath,
do.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to pivot here to vaccines.
What a surprise. And and of course, the biggest problem in the universe is overpopulation, and how we deal with that is vaccines. He's made that comment quite a bit. Let's go to this Bill Gates clip in case people haven't seen it. Here's Bill Gates starting to downplay climate change for a suspicious reason. Let's watch.
Climate is a super important problem.
He's not wearing his pink sweater.
There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes. We won't achieve our best goal, the 1.5 or even the 2 degrees. And as we go about trying to minimize that, we have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate.
When the climate activists who have been very supportive of what you've done and you've been very supportive of what they've done read this, and if Greta Thunberg is reading this and saying to herself, my goodness, he seems like he is reversing himself, what would you tell her?
I'd say, wasn't the goal here to improve human lives? And shouldn't we, in our awareness of how little generosity there is to help, measure, you know, should we get them a measles vaccine or should we do some climate related activity? And if we stop funding all vaccines and that, you know, saved you 0.1 degree, would that be a smart trade-off? That's the kind of question we have to ask. So I'm a climate activist, but I'm also a child survival activist. If you think climate is the only problem
connection.
And it's apocalyptic, or if you think climate's not a problem at all, my memo will make no sense to you. You'll be like, oh, no, it should all be climate. Or you'll be like, why are you even still talking about this climate thing? Why do you invest billions of your money into these companies? The middle position that climate is super important, but has to be considered in terms of overall human welfare. I didn't pick that position because it's a, you know, everybody agrees with it. It's, I think, intellectually the right answer.
It sounds like they lost the argument is what it sounds like to me. I mean, it almost reminds me of the way that after, the COVID lockdown, they come back and go, you know, it turns out that, you know, that really hurt a lot of the students shutting down the school. And it's like, really? Because I remember we were making that argument and you were saying that we wanted grandma to die. So it's kind of a similar thing where we're going, hey, sure, if you want to fix the climate, that's one thing, but you're hurting humans and you're going to starve us all to death. Like, what are you doing? So it seems like they've come around. I think that was a admission of defeat.
Yeah.
By Bill Gates.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's arguably the main driver behind the fear campaign,
right,
of climate change. I mean, giving generations of kids anxiety and depression because they think the world's going to end in 5 years.
Yeah.
They were told that by him. And so now he's coming out and say, whoops, sorry, you know, my bad, but it's not going to be, but I'm going to. So there's a massive, massive, large grouping of money here, a huge fund that's been drummed up on the back of climate change fear for over, probably since arguably late 1960s. That's sitting there, and he's saying, he's a businessman. So he's seeing the banks pull out of their climate commitments. He's seeing a lot of the companies saying, you know what, we're not going to give you our business plan of how we're going to help the planet not warm 1.5 degrees. We're done with this. He's seeing that, and he's saying, let's take those funds and put them back into the shots that I used to do. Like, I want to do this. But it goes back to, let's connect this in here. It goes back to the Club of Rome, late 1960s. You have Alexander King, Aurelio Pachai. Then the MIT limits to growth, and all of this drumming up of this. The planet has a carrying capacity, and we're going over our limits, and there's not enough resources for people. And you have Paul Ehrlich, you have that guy coming out and making the rounds and really scaring people on this. And right off the back of that, they create, I believe, I can't remember Alexander King's book, but he wrote a book and he says, look, we make man the enemy. Man is the enemy of this. And climate change is an issue. We're going to tell people climate change is an issue and man is the enemy. And that was the game plan. He told you right in your face. And right after that, that's late 60s. After that, you see the National Security Study Memorandum 200 with Kissinger. And he says, look, this is how we're going to lower fertility in the lesser developed countries. We tried contraception. We tried information campaigns. That doesn't work. So now we have to ramp this up and we have to actually do this forcefully. And who does he say in that memorandum? He says USAID and the United Nations are going to run these campaigns. And sure enough, in Peru, that's exactly what they did right after that. You have USAID confidential docs that are now out in the public showing that they were running these sterilization campaigns in Peru and so many other countries. Mexico, you saw the fertility campaign things with the tetanus vaccine in Kenya as well. You had the bishops come forward and saying, we're finding basically sterilants in our vaccines.
Yeah, they're being sterilized. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, this is the climate change conversation. Then when you see John Kerry come out and say, in order to save the planet, we have to stop farming. Excuse me? We have to stop. In the Netherlands is saying, you cut fertilizer immediately. That is the Heiber Bosch method. That's the industrial fertilization creation that's allowed the planet to feed this many people. You cut that. You cut nitrogen out of the nitrogen fertilizer. You're cutting the planet in half at that point right there. So you can see it at that point that it's straight up eugenics. It's what it is. And you just call it for what it is. And people, if you're hearing that for the first time, oh, God, probably not your audience, but you have to call it for what it is. And we bring it down right to the individual level because a lot of people hearing this and seeing this may go, this is huge. What do I do? This is Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. What am I going to do about this? Well, it's coming to a theater near you. In Denmark, I think we have I sent over a clip of this, but in Denmark, they're forced, mandated by the government to feed their cows this methane-busting feed. Basically, make your cows fart less for the earth. And when Bill Gates says, we have a lot of great technology that's going to save the planet, so the planet's not a big deal anymore, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this science, in quotation marks, they're mandated to put in a cow feed. This is breaking news. Listen to what this this woman has to say. This is a cow farmer from Denmark, and this is what happens to their cows when they're giving them these.
Yeah, let's watch this video.
And me and my husband, Jan, we have a farm in the northern of Denmark. We come from originally from Holland, and we moved here 4.5 years back. And I would like to tell you a little bit about the law in Denmark about feeding bovaire to our cows. It's the law since this year that we have to feed 80 days of bovaire to our cows. It's a rule, and if you don't do it, it's just like you can go to the prison, or you get like a big fine, a really big fine. So most all farmers just do it. What happened is that we started on the 1st of October. Most of the farmers do it in Denmark. It's because it's a little bit in the end of the year. It's not warm, so no heat stress and everything. So we hope for less problems. But we started in the beginning of October with low doses, and we raised it up till the full doses around the 20th of October, a little before. And on the 30th of October, we really got problems. It started with on that day we have robots, so we have a health list on the computer, and on that day we had like in one group we have four groups of cows in our stable, we have one group with 36 sick cows. We milk on daily basis around 480 cows.
And if you look for them, you can find all sorts of videos from Danish farmers saying the same thing. An article at farmersforum.com, Dairy Crisis in Copenhagen, Farmers Accuse Government of Poisoning Cows. This was published yesterday. Denmark's dairy industry has erupted in anger as farmers accuse the government mandated feed additive bovaire of poisoning livestock in a bid to curb methane emissions. Since October 1st, farms with over 50 cows have been required to dose rations with the chemical 3, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, but it's the Bovaire is the brand name. If the farms don't comply, they face heavy fines. Horrifying reports flooded in. Cows collapsing, miscarrying, suffering fevers, diarrhea, and plummeting milk yields. Some euthanized after agonizing weeks. So, I mean, if this was the test run of Bovaire, it seems like it has horrifically failed, but they're still mandating it.
Right. For climate change that we're told is not a problem for the foreseeable future, and we're going to live and thrive into the future. So people are watching this. Hey, it's in Denmark. Well, I'm in America. Who cares? The FDA has given this a green light.
Right.
So this is going into cows in the United States right now. Now, that's under Biden's FDA. So what is the FDA right now going to do? We have a new FDA leadership. They can, under the veterinary services, that's where it's kind of this is the governing body. So it can be changed right now. They can say, you know what, let's pull this out and pause this and do some more studies because we're seeing reports around the world. Let's get some science to these farms to see what's actually happening, because this is the test bed. This is the test bed for what they're doing. And this gets into the milk. This gets into the cheese. And the FDA said, well, we don't think it poses a really serious risk to the humans, but they don't know for sure.
Right.
Show me the study where it says it does not 100% do that.
It's just, I mean, they're playing so fast and loose. And that was the other thing about Bill Gates coming out and reversing, you know, what he says about climate change. It's just like, well, thank God we didn't let you do what you wanted to. Because unlike COVID, which a lot of what COVID, the interventions around COVID were permanent, but a lot of them were reversible, right? You can shut down the schools, but you can open them back up again. You can't undo spraying chemicals in the air to block out the sun, right? You can't undo poisoning every cow in Denmark. Like, these are things that are permanent that you can't reverse. So thank you, Bill Gates, for admitting that you lost and we stopped you and you're not going to try to do this anymore. But, you know, if we'd done some of these interventions, there'd be no going back.
Exactly. And, you know, for people listening to this who have believed, because there's a critical mass of people who hook, line, and sinker believe this climate change narrative.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. It's not either or. The climate is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my breath? Is it a cow fart that's doing it? Or is it that big flaming ball in the sky that might have
right. Some, could be.
Most of the climate models, from my understanding, do not account for what's happening with the sun. And you know, one of these things, this is not my area of expertise. My wife is actually a major expert in this space of solar radiation and how it affects the planet, not only from the physical space, but also from it's changing us as
right.
well. We're part of the planet. It's changing us. And so that there's a whole group of scientists around the world that have been studying this that have been blocked out of the conversation because they can't get funds unless they say it's anthropogenic, humans are causing it. Otherwise, you're locked out of your university or funding. But there is massive science going on outside of that that's showing this is a living system. Mm. There's things happening right now. So I'm not sitting here saying the climate is not changing. There are some changes going on for sure, but that's not how you change it, by giving the cows this experimental drug or blocking out the sun or whatever. And you're seeing the guy now who has done that saying, you know what? See you guys. Thanks for playing. I'm going to shift to vaccines. I'm going to go back to my bread and butter here.
It is truly wild. And in fact, we have another video of Prince William completely contradicting Bill Gates, ironically enough. This is at COP30, which was in the Amazon rainforest. But in order to get there, they had to cut a big swath through the Amazon rainforest and cut down like a million acres of trees for the climate agenda. It's like it's more insane than you could even imagine. Let's go to Prince William here, completely countersignaling everything we just heard from King Climate Bill Gates. Let's watch.
I grew up with my father, the king, talking about the power of nature and the importance of harmony in the natural world. A subject he has championed for over five decades. It's a privilege to also represent him here today, as well as everyone else who has championed this cause for so many years. All of us here today understand that we are edging dangerously close to the Earth's critical tipping points, thresholds beyond which the natural systems we depend on may begin to unravel. The melting of polar ice, the loss of the Amazon, the disruption of ocean currents. These are not distant threats. They are fast approaching and will affect every one of us, no matter where we live.
There's Prince William just completely contradicting everything Bill Gates said. The melting of the ice caps, it's like enough already. We get it. It's a lie.
But two things when I see that is the European Union and the UK they're already so far down this road. I don't know how they pull out of this because their policy, Germany's completely cutting off their energy. I don't know how they pull out of this tailspin. A lot of people say the UK economically is dead. Spain has had power grid collapses. The entire half of that country went down because they switched over to wind and solar too fast. It just does not have the inertia to keep that moving when there's not wind or solar going. So there could be that they're just in it to win it, and they're going down with the ship. That's the hill they're going to die on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, these narratives are when it comes from, you know, they whatever it is, climate, whatever is agreed upon. That narrative goes out, and it's almost like a dead man switch. When this ideology goes out, everyone is speaking these same terminologies, and mm-hmm. it's hard to reverse it once it gets moving. It's like a ship liner. So maybe he just didn't get the memo. Maybe Bill Gates is going, I'm going to undercut this and make $1 million on it before these guys get the memo next year that we're all pulling out of this thing.
Right.
Who knows what's going on? But Bill Gates is definitely backing out of this thing.
That is so. And, you know, again, I see that as absolute victory for us. Like this, you know, as much as we talk about like all of these insane things, the vaccines are killing children and the climate change agenda is continuing, but also diverting, like throughout all of this, we have to understand if it was up to them, if the American people or the free people of the world didn't stand up, we'd still be in COVID lockdown. We'd all be in COVID camps. We'd all be forced to take these poisonous vaccines like mRNA. Climate change, we'd be blowing up nuclear reactors here instead of just in Germany. We have defeated this. We have spoken out. We have awoken enough people to the reality of this situation that they are being forced to change their agenda, which I think is an important message for like especially our audience to understand and to really absorb, because the forces that we're up against are so powerful, it can seem hopeless at times, but like we are making a major difference by awakening people to both vaccines, climate change, and all the other stuff that, you know, the High Wire and InfoWars talks about. We are winning.
Yeah. And it's about carrying that, you know, InfoWars, it's about carrying that information from generation to generation. Like you and I are standing on the shoulders of people, whistleblowers, people that gave their lives to pass this information along to our generation and to the next generation. And there's a continuous flow here. What do you do with this? Do you stop and say, oh great, we won, or pass that on TikTok and go, great, Kennedy's got it taken care of, we're good, Trump's good.
Right.
You got to carry this on. It's not how that works. You don't get to sit back and have a leisurely life right now because all of these people gave that up. One of the things, I'm going back to Kennedy here, I'm jumping around a little bit, but some of the battles he's up against, the fluoride conversation,
right?
That's an interesting conversation because before I became a journalist, I was a researcher. I was going to school to be a doctor, and I was watching InfoWars and Alex, and a guy in there came on called Paul Connett. Mm. Paul Connett was warning about the dangers of fluoride in the water. I think he has a book called The Fluoride Deception. I read that book and I thought, holy cow, this is my, growing up, my dad always distilled the water, said you can't drink tap water. He just knew intuitively something wasn't in there. But I saw this, and fast forward to a decade after that, I'm interviewing Michael Connett, his son, who is leading the legal charge against the FDA and the EPA on this very subject. He started a citizen's petition, and that's through the FDA. It went to court. He won. He showed through the science in the experts that they had that fluoride is lowering kids' IQ. Not only that, there's also the judge said there are hazards at the chemical level that it's put in the water right now.
Right.
The FDA has to go back and the EPA has to go back, and they have to reformulate. They have to figure out a way to get this out of the water. Well, the EPA said, we're not going to do that. We're going to fight you. And this was one of the big issues because that was the Solicitor General who fought that, who appealed that case. Everyone thought they won, like, oh my gosh, we won in court. They're going to take it out of the water. The Solicitor General, on behalf of Pam Bondi in the White House, said, we're going to fight this. So Michael Connett is fighting this in court right now. I texted him before I came on the show. I said, where is this at? Because I want to talk about this. And yeah, he said, it may drag out another year. I mean, they're fighting us. So this is one of the issues. I mean, that's one of the things they ran in this campaign is get these, I call them low-hanging fruit toxins, out of the waters. This is fluoride. There's massive science showing harm on this. A court ruled it lowers children's IQ. You can't monitor the dosage for kids. And I saw a headline, the FDA is taking it out of children's supplements. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, who's buying fluoride supplements for their kids? And if you are, you probably should stop. But get it out of the water supply that's being used to make our food and cook and make and beer and bread and everything. It's everywhere. You got to get this stuff out. So, I mean, Kennedy's moving on these spaces, but there is static in there. I mean, there's so many moving parts that he's doing the best he can, I think.
Yeah, well, and I think he's having massive success, and we're less than a year into his being in office and already just racking up massive, massive wins. What do you think? Well, we're out of time. Dang it, we could go on and on, man. This is really just absolutely fascinating, and there, like you said, so many different moving parts, but they're all intertwined. Jeffrey Jackson, thank you so much for being here with us. TheHighWire.com, where you can find out more. Where else can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, it's X, also Highwire Plus. If you go to Highwire's website, Highwire Plus, I have a documentary series there. I've had 5 documentaries on certain topics. I just go deep dives on them, polio, mental health, climate. So you can check those out. And again, thanks for having me on. It's impossible to tell how much help this organization, InfoWars here, and all the reporters have done to move this ball forward in this media space. It's impossible to understand what you guys have done. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I love it because so much we talk about is sort of there's nothing we can do about it. What am I going to do about the war in Ukraine or whatever? But this is something you can do for yourself because it's your health and it's your family's health. Jeffrey Jackson, thank you so much for being with us, sir.
Thank you.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
forged in the fires of liberty. The Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.